Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your goodness to us. We're thankful for this year ahead. And we would pray, Lord, now that as we would dive into your word, that you would give us a depth of understanding, Jesus, and a real sense of your closeness and your desire in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're like me, probably over the last few days, you know, as we get closer to the new year, you know, you probably were thinking about some of those things that you might change in your life, you know, the old resolution things, you know, goals that you want to set. And it really, it's not a bad practice at all. I think it's actually pretty good. You know, I think constantly of the 12 pounds of Christmas, and you have to kind of think through that. But, you know, really, when we have this opportunity, we've got this time to review where things are at in our lives, and we can evaluate, and then we can commit, you know, to some steps forward. And I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. But, you know, often when we do think about goals, we do think about things like weight loss, or, you know, I'm going to get better organized in the new year, and my life is going to change that way. I'm going to read a book a month or whatever. But this morning, on this very first day of 2017, I'd like us to consider ahead of everything else, moving forward in the most important element of our lives, and that is our faith in Jesus Christ. Above all else, it's that relationship that we have with Jesus that is the most important thing. That is the thing that sets the tone, or will set the tone, for 2017. It's the very thing that is going to help us and give us that what we need to have that progression in our lives. It's our relationship with Jesus. And, you know, I think that it would be an honest observation to say that the care of our soul too easily moves from the Sunday front burner to the Monday back burner. Isn't that true? You know, in other words, we can simmer, you know, for the longest time. Yes, we've got a relationship with Jesus, but we only hit these occasional hot points along the way. And, you know, really, like most other areas in our lives, you know, that get better with progression, our faith journey, our relationship with Jesus, it really does require this ongoing, deliberate, and sometimes uncomfortable work in us. And so sometimes we can kind of shy away from that, because often for us it means that we have to face some difficult barriers that are in our lives. We've got to face maybe some past hurts or even future doubts, wondering really what this next year is going to look like, and maybe parts of that frighten us a little bit. So no matter where we are on the faith spectrum, there is a verse that I think is really meant to encourage us. It is the words of Jesus, and they help us to know that we can safely, you and I, move forward in him. You'll recognize this. It's out of Matthew. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." These are the words of Jesus. This is a promise that all of us have going forward into the year, that his peace can be our peace. We simply need to take on the yoke of Jesus. And it's not a hard thing to bear. It's something that is good for us and where we want to press into as we move into this new year. And so my prayer for us this morning is for a year of increasing faith, in which we encounter Jesus, in which we know his touch, and all of us are changed, somehow transformed by the Spirit of God. I'd like us to think through that, first by considering a story of a woman who was in dire need of an encounter with Jesus. And the story is found in Mark chapter 5, and we're going to begin at verse 25. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything that she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." This account is so good for us to hear this morning because no matter our condition, whether we're broken physically, whether we're broken emotionally or spiritually, whether our faith has plateaued or we're simply here and just desiring and longing more of Jesus in our lives, there is prescribed here a way forward, a progression. This really is a story of hope for us. It's a story of hope. You know, in this woman, there is despair for sure. Things are getting worse. I can't imagine. And yet, there is also in her this tenacity that has seen her push through somehow this misery over these last 12 years. A tenacity that has kept some form of hope in her alive, even if it's only kind of this dim flicker of light offering a way forward. After everything that she's tried, everything. There has been no resolution. But she hears about this Jesus. She hears about some good things about this Jesus, that he is a miracle worker, and she thinks, others have been healed. Why not me? So there are three things that occur in this account that strongly and I think strategically apply to our lives today. Three ways forward that any one of us can take that will bring our spiritual lives, I believe, to new levels of connection, that can bring us hope in the midst of difficulty and even despair, that can bring us to a place of healing and of peace. There are three words, three verbs that I'd like all of us to go home with today. And they are reach, touch, and receive. Reach, touch, and receive. The woman in this account had so much that was stacked up against her. She had the issue of blood, which would have made her physically weak and actually susceptible to even more sickness. She was alone. No one was with her to support her. And because of the blood, she was considered to be an outcast, unclean, shunned by society, by those who knew of her condition. And in order to reach Jesus, she'd have to kind of push through that crowd and perhaps in doing that, face the adversity of others who saw her as untouchable. They didn't want her near her. They would see her as breaking the rules of the Jewish custom. This woman, as broken and hurting as she was, she saw her hope in Jesus. And she pushed through and she reached out to him, no matter what the consequences might be. I'd like you to consider for a moment with me your reach to Jesus. Think about this. Are you in this place of actively pursuing him, knowing absolutely that he is hope's destination? Jesus is hope's destination. Are you in a place today that maybe you've given up because the obstacles have just become too high or the work is too hard or you find that your faith is limited? You know, it's true that Jesus reaches out to us because he absolutely does. But it's like any other relationship. It takes two, really, to do the reaching. While Jesus never falters in his reaching, he is forever faithful. We, you and I, we're often prone to kind of give up because maybe the cost seems to be too high and or maybe we end up holding back and taking this posture of just waiting just for something to happen without reaching. If we don't reach, it would be like the woman sitting at the roadside, seeing her hope walk by in Jesus, but being unwilling to reach out to him, to follow him. See, our faith requires the active, ongoing component of reaching. Reaching really is the statement of faith. It says, Jesus, I see in you my hope. I see in you my answer. I'm going to reach out to you no matter what I face, no matter who gets mad at me. I am going to do what I need to do to reach you. No matter what. Keep on asking, Jesus says, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. It's another promise of Jesus that we can hold on to as we move into this new year. Let's move on to our second word, our second way forward, and that is touch. You know, after reaching Jesus, the woman makes another decision and she takes the risk to touch Jesus, even if it's just the hem of his garment. She believes that that's going to be close enough. Now, consider her situation for a moment. She's been bleeding for 12 years, 12 long years. She's been told all of those years that she is unclean, that she is unworthy, that she is worse than a second-class citizen. It's likely that she's unable to worship like the others have been able to worship because of her issue, and she would feel some distance between her and her Jewish faith. Over the time, the negative words of others most likely would have become her own words for herself. I am too dirty. I am too unclean. I am not even worthy to look at this man. I think there's a reason that she approaches him from behind. But here's the thing. She makes the decision to ignore the naysayers, to ignore those nasty voices in her head. And she reaches out to touch Jesus. And you know, there's all sorts of risk here. She could ask herself the question, what happens if I'm not healed? What if he notices me and he publicly rejects me like he has, or like the others have rejected me? What if he asks me to do something that I don't want to do, like follow him for the rest of my life? There is an element of risk, you see, when you touch Jesus. This morning, would you say that you are in close proximity enough to touch Jesus? As you reach out, are you prepared to go that one step farther and to actually to touch him? Or do you think that somehow you are unclean? Do you worry somehow that Jesus will reject you? Perhaps you hold back from a close encounter with Jesus because you are afraid that he might ask you to do something that you don't want to do. I don't know, maybe there's sin in your life and you're not wanting to give it up and your rationale will fall short if you touch him. Or maybe it's on the other end of the spectrum. Maybe you're concerned that Jesus may ask you to go even deeper and ask you to do something like serve him in a foreign land for the rest of your life. And you're here and you feel afraid and incapable. You see, it's true, there is a risk when you reach out and you touch Jesus. But listen, it's the touching in Jesus, it's the best thing for us. It's where we're meant to be. It's what we should be doing. We need to be embracing him fully. See, if we simply reach but we neglect to touch Jesus, we inevitably miss his way for us. We can have a relationship with him which is very light and very superficial. We can be sort of reaching for him, but it's the touching that's so important. It was only by breaking through and touching him that the woman found her hope realized, and that same truth holds for us. We need to understand this about Jesus, that he wants a meaningful, all-in relationship with us, all-in, no matter who we are. No matter what we've done, no matter where we are at this moment, disconnected or not. And as the woman discovered, as we touch him, he simultaneously touches us. So don't begin this year afraid to go deeper. Don't make the attempt and stop short of the touch. Press in. Be bold. Be courageous. Take the risk of faith to touch him. And listen to me, it will change your life. I want 2017 to change my life. I want to press into Jesus. Let's talk for a moment about receiving. The last of the account of the woman with the issue of blood to me is really fascinating as you read through it. She reaches and she touches and she receives healing. See, the moment that her fingers grab hold of the hem of his robe, that the healing power, the scripture says, flows through Jesus and through her body, and he knows it. And so does she. And so the risk has paid off. She could feel that healing as Jesus could. And so he says, "Who touched my robe? Who touched my robe?" Well, I can tell you this. I think it's very likely that the one who can calm the winds and the waves really did know who it was. But there was a point in his asking. Would she be so bold as to publicly announce her healing at the hands of Jesus? Afraid now, in the absolute recognition of his messianic identity, the woman is trembling and then she decides to take again another risk, and she identifies herself. It's me. It's me. She has received her healing, but now she receives something even more crucial to her life. Jesus calls her daughter. You see, more than a physical healing, she has now received her new identity in Christ. Your faith has made you well, says Jesus. And because of her belief, her suffering is over. She's made whole both physically and even more importantly, spiritually. She has this new identity and she is now daughter. And so here's the final question for us this morning. Will you walk into this new year ahead in your full identity as a believer in Christ, as a son or a daughter of God? Or have you allowed other things to shape you? The enemy, the world, our culture will push against our true identity as sons and daughters, for sure. And because of our brokenness, you know, we might have begun to listen to those truths and push our faith aside. We can begin to believe them after we've heard it over and over again. But listen, it is who we are in Christ that is the resting place of our hope. If we've forgotten who we are, or if we've been influenced by the lie of the enemy or the pushback of culture, if that has moved us away from Jesus, we can begin this year right now in this moment renewing, refreshing, and once again picking up that identity which is ours in Christ. It's the gift of being a son or a daughter. It's what brings us true life. It is where our physical and emotional and spiritual healing begins, right there in that place. Reach, touch, receive. Wherever you find yourself on the spectrum, begin 2017 by taking some action. Trust Jesus fully. Take the steps necessary to get close. And as the woman did, break through, because he will meet you. He will change you. He will bring you hope and the fullest of life. That is his promise to us. Our team is going to come, and we're going to end by singing again, "Seek First the Kingdom of God." That's really what this has been all about, is seek first. May we begin this year of 2017 seeking first Jesus in our lives. Breaking through, pressing in, touching him, and receiving what it is that he has for us. Because believe me, church, God has got amazing things for us in this year ahead. Amazing things. Would you stand and let's sing this together.